Yeah, yeah, making her wait to the mic. They start dimming the lights, you start feeling alright. From Birmingham, home of the Teddy Longs, and the room is stutters. More once you discover, for all of the lovers, Whitney Houston and Roman Reigns. For all of the lovers, Mickey James and Marvin Gaye. For all of the lovers, Sasha Banks, Janelle Monáe, Silk, Sonic, and Paige. Allow me to say, look, I just found a place, sweet escape. For every one of us, I was kinda late, cause I just made it off the struggle bus. Walking by the faith, cause I know it's right in front of us. Yo, I ain't with the hate, gotta focus on what's great. Ladies and gentlemen, Steph Hardy is on the air. Had to drop a couple bars just to make you all aware. So, sit back, relax, enjoy the show. You know I go by Joe or the rest of you.
Hey y'all, welcome to a new episode of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast Extra with your girl Stephanie Hardy, host and creator of this fabulous platform, contributing writer for Daily DDT, as well as color commentator featured on the Belladonna Division, Battle Club Pro, Black Girl Magic 2022, and Spartan Wrestling. I'm so happy to be with you guys on this amazing week, which is of course Thanksgiving week, leading into the start of the holiday season. For Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all of the holidays that you might celebrate. That is what's happening, and it is an amazing week. But on top of it being an amazing week where you get to chill out and be with your family or be with your friends or even just be with yourself if you don't feel like being bothered, it is a big weekend in wrestling after another big weekend because, of course, we did just have AEW Full Gear, which I did watch, and it was really interesting and really cool in a couple of parts, especially with that Texas Death Match and so many other amazing parts with Timeless or, like I say, Turner Classic Tony winning the AEW World Women's Championship and so many amazing things happening, including my friends being in the media scrum. That was amazing too. So shout out to Alicia from the Al Yeah podcast. I'm so proud of her for being able to go to her first media scrum, as well as Emily May being there as well. Like, that was amazing. So I am just so excited for all of the moves that a lot of my friends are making in wrestling media. But this weekend is so huge because it is Survivor Series. It is Survivor Series weekend taking place this Saturday, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, at the Allstate Arena in Chicago, Illinois. Yeah, it is such an exciting time right now because in WWE, this is one of their big four pay-per-views. Of course, you have WrestleMania, you have SummerSlam, and you have the Royal Rumble. But then towards Thanksgiving time, you have Survivor Series, which traditionally got started in 1987 and was mostly known as sort of like a team versus team type of thing. But then, of course, as it grew more and more, it became more so of a brand versus brand thing when it came to, you know, Raw versus SmackDown, once there was two shows. But of course, there's a varying effect between both things in the years since the Survivor Series pay-per-view has gotten started. And of course, since last year, they've taken the concept of the War Games cage match, where there are two rings and basically surrounded by all of this big old cage, and everybody, there's like in all these teams of four or five, get to fight against each other and settle the score in this amazing match, which was invented by the late great American Dream Dusty Rhodes. And for the first time ever, we have another Rhodes who gets to participate in it. We have Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, featured on this poster, as you can see, who gets to be in it for the very first time. And I am so excited about it for tons of different reasons, because I love the War Games concept, because there's just so much destruction that can happen, and so much innovation and creativity that can happen with ways of punishing people in cages. Like, it is just an amazing deal. But I'm even more excited because I'll get to be there. I am just absolutely blessed to know that the Hardy Wrestling Podcast will be there, you know, and have representation as media at the event. I'm so happy to have been accepted to go there, especially being there with a number of colleagues and friends in the wrestling space I get to be with as well. So I am just absolutely thrilled that I get to be there, because this will be actually my fourth pay-per-view that I've ever been to in my entire wrestling fandom life. I've been to two WrestleManias, one NXT Stand and Deliver, and now I get to go to Survivor Series, and I'm excited because the traveling starts tomorrow. I'm flying out tomorrow. But before we get into all of the other media stuff, I have to give my predictions of what I think is going to happen in this amazing show. Of course, Monday Night Raw took place last night, and we got so many exciting announcements about, you know, Survivor Series. It's going to make it even more exciting. But of course, I just had to come on and give my predictions because I am just so pumped about this. So of course, on the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, we got to start with the women because it's ladies first up in here, all right? And also, I do want to thank those who are watching live on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube and Twitch. Thank you guys so much for sharing and supporting. And of course, you can go back and watch this later on the YouTube channel if you can't catch it right now, but thank you guys so much for your support. So, of course, I want to give my predictions for the women's matches first. So, we have Rhea Ripley versus Zoe Stark for the Women's World Championship. And, of course, Rhea has had her hands full over the past couple of months being the de facto leader of the Judgment Day. And, of course, even though she's given Damian Priest the reins to be over the rest of Judgment Day in their War Games match, she's basically been the leader, calling all the shots, making all the chess moves for them, even going as far as to having Drew McIntyre, you know, join the men's team for the War Games match. And it has just been chess move after chess move after chess move with her. But the thing that she really, you know, actually, she has been more focused on being dominant in the women's division since Crown Jewel earlier this month, because of course she did have to fight in a fatal five-way against Zoe Stark, Nia Jax, Raquel Rodriguez, and Shayna Baszler, and she retained her title. But now you have Zoe Stark, who won the Battle Royal that they had on Raw 2 weeks ago. So now she's the number one contender. And I love Zoe Stark as a competitor. She is really great. She is a former NXT Tag Team Champion for the women. She is an insanely gifted wrestler who calls herself calculated and vicious, which she kind of is, depending on who she's in the ring with. And she's just a really good strategist when it comes to her in-ring acumen. And then, of course, you have Rhea Ripley, who is just a powerhouse in and of itself. She is just so powerful in the ring. She's very strong and she will hit you really hard. So, and she's also a pretty good technician as well, but she's not necessarily as adept with the technical stuff as Zoe Stark is. So it's hard to say exactly who will win, but I'm definitely predicting that Rhea Ripley will retain her title because she has held on to gold since April. Because I was actually rewatching WrestleMania a few days ago, and to think that Rhea Ripley has held on to the SmackDown women's title and the women's world title, you know, since April, and now it's November, it's just really insane to think about. Even though you could, you know, say that there might have been a few interferences here and there, you can't deny that Rhea Ripley has been that girl for like the entire half of, you know, the entire chunk, the middle part and half of this year. So I'm definitely predicting that Rhea Ripley will come out the victor and retain her women's world title. But Zoe Stark is definitely going to give her a run for her money because she has been telling Rhea, like, look, I'm in your head and you know I am. Because at the end of the day, you just haven't been paying full attention to me, which means that in a sense, she's been underestimating Zoe Stark, right? So Zoe could have the upper hand and the advantage when it comes to it. But in the end, Rhea Ripley will probably retain her women's world title. because a lot of people really feel that the big bad that Rhea will have to face, you know, at some point will more than likely be Becky Lynch. But we do have to wait and see, because this is a title that Becky Lynch has not won yet. So it would be interesting if that would be the case leading into, say, WrestleMania season. But we just have to wait and see. But my prediction is that Rhea Ripley will retain, and this will be a barn burner of a match. You know, definitely, you know, tens across the board for the women, but Rhea Ripley's going to win. And of course, we have the women's War Games match, which is centered on the women of SmackDown. I was absolutely thrilled when, of course, they were setting up the fact that Damage Control was going to be a team, you know, headed into War Games. Because at first I was wondering, okay, so the men have their match on Raw, so what's going to happen with the women? And now, even though I hated watching the way that they were attacking Bianca and Charlotte and Shotzi, once it became, you know, obvious that Asuka was joining Damage Control, I was like, okay, now I see where we're going with this. And I'm glad that the SmackDown women get to do this now. So they all collectively came together, you know, and beat up on Bianca and Charlotte and Shotzi. And now this past Friday, we had Bianca, Charlotte, and Shotzi trying to put together who they could get as their fourth woman. And even though Bianca started recruiting Mia Yim and Zelina Vega, of course, Damage Control caught wind of it, and they started jumping on Zelina and Mia, which I felt like was absolutely horrible, considering Zelina Vega was dealing with a lot of drama with the LWO sort of falling apart at the hands of Santos Escobar and Carlito. It's just really a shame that she didn't get a chance to be in that match, because she did tweet and say that she had never participated in a War Games match, and I would have loved for her to have had that moment, because it feels like Zelina has only had her one big moment at Backlash, and she's been wrestling in dark matches, but as far as like having another big moment for herself, she hasn't had that. And I feel like there was a missed opportunity to put her in the War Games match to give her something else to focus on. But you know, here we are in the today of things, and it's looking like Becky Lynch was the friend that Charlotte had to call, which is insane when you think about how 2 years ago, Charlotte and Becky were definitely at each other's throats and hated each other, tossing belts back and forth at each other, you know, just not being, you know, the friends that we knew them to be back in the day, in the Charlotte Lynch days. But now it's looking like maybe they've, you know, ironed out their differences. They've cleared the air, and now they're working together, and it's great in a sense that this is happening, and Becky is on the team. And you know, it's great because of course Becky was in the War Games match last year, and she is definitely a woman who loves to fight a lot of the time, and she's had her beef with Xia Li and her run with the NXT women's title, which was amazing. Really great stuff for her. And of course, you know, she's prepping for the release of her book next year, which is great. But I can't help but feel a little bit sad for Mia Yim and for Zelina Vega, who are active members on the SmackDown roster, and how they don't get to participate in this. Like, it's really saddening to me that you had to bring over Becky from Raw, you know, to be a part of this team. It's just like, yo, like all of these women are on SmackDown. You have two other women on SmackDown who could have participated, but you brought over Becky. That just made me really sad. But, you know, since this is what we're getting, I am still very excited about the match itself, because of course you do have Io Sky, who is the women's champion at this point. She has definitely made a name for herself in these matches, in these War Games, to the point to where WWE has sort of toyed with the idea of calling her Mrs. War Games, and I think that's really insane. But it's true though, because she's been in just about every other War Games match that's been had from NXT till now, and she has amazing moments in this match. So I'm pretty sure she's going to, you know, show off in this match as well, as being on a team with Kairi Sane, who I know probably doesn't mind jumping in the air a lot of the time with her insane elbow as well. But you also have the notion that maybe Damage Control won't be able to work that well together, because you have the little chemistry that Asuka, Io, and Kairi, as well as Dakota, have that Bayley feels she's on the outside looking in with. And it makes me wonder, will that cause a communication breakdown and cause for Team Bianca to actually move forward and win? So, yeah, it's just really interesting stuff. I am excited for this match because all of these women have, you know, in terms of Team Bianca, they all have beef with Damage Control from over the past couple of months. They've all been screwed out of opportunities, you know, to get their titles back, with the exception of Becky. So, and then with Shotzi, she has beef with Damage Control because they cut her hair and tried to embarrass her. So all of this beef is coalescing in this War Games match. And I am definitely predicting that Team Bianca is going to come out with the win. Like, they just have it. Like, Team, yeah. Isaac, Eric, thank you. Eric, thank you for watching. He's saying Team Belle Flair for the win Saturday. Exactly. That is my prediction. I believe they're going to win. And I just want them to win simply because I just feel like Damage Control has just done way too much at this point to just get away with it. So I really am going to need the baby faces to win. Even though a lot of people have been weirdly predicting online that Bianca could turn or Charlotte could turn or whatever, I'm just hoping that that's not going to happen and that the face team will win. So I'm predicting Team Bianca for the win, and Damage Control are just going to have some issues there communicating. But yeah, it's definitely Team Belair for me. So that's all for the women. Those are the only two women's matches on the card. But here again, it's amazing stuff going on for the women, because even on Raw last night, a record 28 women were featured on the card in that 3 to 4 hour show. And that's just amazing to think about, because usually sometimes, you know, they can be in and out with the women. There could be two matches or one match or whatever. But the tag team division was on fire. Everything involving the Survivor Series War Games match was on fire. There was just a lot of women, you know, on display on an episode of Raw, and hopefully they will continue to keep that going. Women's wrestling is on fire. And then, of course, you had Zoe and Rhea. So I'm really excited about women's wrestling in WWE and where it's going. So yeah, this is just going to be great. And I'm just really excited to witness more herstory being made this weekend. It's just really good stuff. Now, moving towards the men's matches. We have Carlito versus Santos Escobar, because of course this is Latino World Order Civil War. So 2 weeks ago on SmackDown, I didn't see this happen because I was out, but I did see clips of it online where Santos came out with the rest of LWO. And of course, Santos was the one who was responsible for Rey Mysterio losing the United States Championship to Logan Paul at Crown Jewel, because of course, one of Logan Paul's cronies came out there and tried to give him a freaking brass knuckles. And then just when it looked like Santos was trying to take the brass knuckles away, he laid them back down where Logan could use them and, you know, hit Rey Mysterio in the head, costing him the United States title. And Carlito was like, look, let's discuss the elephant in the room, Santos. Rey lost the title because of you. And Santos didn't like that. So leading into their match against Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, this led to Santos, you know, beating up on Carlito and then beating up on Rey and telling him that it was just supposed to be him and Rey and the rest of the LWO family. And this broke the hearts of Cruz del Toro, Joaquin Wilde, and definitely Zelina Vega. And it was stressing them out so bad that freaking Zelina slapped the taste out of his mouth this past Friday. And I was just like, yes. Do not stress my girl out, because y'all know how I feel about Zelina Vega. I love her so much. So the fact that y'all are stressing her out and breaking her heart like this just makes me sad. But now Carlito and Santos are going to be able to settle this in a match. And I'm really excited to see both of these men fight, because I never get bored watching Santos in a match. He is just so good in ring. Like, he comes from a lucha family. Like, he is just one of, you know, one of the best lucha wrestlers that has ever existed. He's definitely one of the future one of the future icons and legends when it comes to the lucha wrestling style. He's just fantastic. And he's somebody who I've sort of wanted to sort of break out and have a moment, you know, for a while since he came up with Legado del Fantasma, with Zelina. But it seems like once the LWO got started, you know, there was that, and it just didn't really, and it popped off, but it didn't pop off the way that I sort of wanted it to pop off, because he had a pretty good singles run in NXT, even though he had Legado. So I was wondering, okay, what's going to happen with this? So this is definitely a great opportunity for him to show, you know, his range with this character, this heel character at that. And, you know, just show more of what he can do in ring. But then you also have Carlito, who Joseph in the chat is saying, crazy, this is the first time that this will give us Carlito's real first match back on pay-per-view since September of 2007 at Unforgiven versus Triple H. And he's also saying, the question is, will Legado actually reform with Electra Lopez? Electra has been guiding the career of Lola Vice. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure if Legado will probably reform with Electra Lopez there, because she has been sort of tagging with Lola Vice. I'm not entirely sure about that, but, you know, we just got to wait and see. But yeah, this is Carlito's first singles pay-per-view match since September of 2007. And I'm really excited for him to be back, because a lot of people sort of underestimate this, but he also comes from a famous Puerto Rican wrestling family as well, with the Colons. And he, you know, has been an amazing wrestler, even in the independent, since he's come back. He's, you know, gotten bigger, you know, he's gotten buffer, and he's also been, you know, a wrestling consultant on shows like Netflix's Glow and stuff like that. So he's definitely been working his way back, you know, now that he's returned to WWE, and he's done great things. So I can't wait to see how he's going to perform, as, you know, in singles work, because we've seen him in tag team stuff and we've seen him sort of in brawls, but in terms of like having to fight someone like Santos is just going to be interesting. And I have a feeling that this civil war is going to keep going, you know, the farther we get into the storyline. So as much as I don't want to do it, I'm going to predict that Santos Escobar is going to win, because he is definitely angry, and he has a lot of, you know, fuel to his engines at this point to possibly beat Carlito, because Carlito, he is fighting for himself, but he's also fighting for the name of Rey Mysterio, who is out with injury now and can't fight for himself, and he's fighting for the integrity of the LWO. But, you know, for all we know, Santos, you know, might feel more of he might feel more inclined to fight, you know, to prove himself. So I'm definitely predicting that Santos Escobar is going to win, but it won't be over between the two, or between LWO and Santos anyway. I low-key want Zelina to fight him, but that would be too much. But either way, I'm predicting Santos is going to win. And moving on with the men's matches, we have this match, which definitely turned up for me last night. Which is Gunther versus The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. So, of course, Gunther has held on to this title for a year and some change, and he's definitely broken the record of being the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. And that is definitely commendable, considering, you know, he's just been, you know, on a tear since he's gotten started. And a lot of people were wondering, you know, where was his character gonna go, and if he was going to be treated with the same prestige that he was treated with in NXT UK and in NXT. But he has definitely brought that over, and he's been allowed to sort of cook in a way that gives more prestige to the IC title in a pretty amazing way. And even though a part of me really wanted Chad Gable to beat Gunther for the IC title, simply because he made his child cry, and because I really felt like Chad Gable really did deserve a run with the title, because he's just amazing. And he's been, you know, plugging away for his star-making performance. He had that performance against Gunther, but he just keeps losing, and I'm just like, God dang it. And Gunther has just been undefeated at this point. Like, nobody has been able to really defeat him. So you throw The Miz in here. And this face turn for The Miz has been questioning people a lot. They've been making people wonder, like, can he be a face again? Is it truly going to work? You know, because we're so used to him being a heel and he's great at being a heel. But last night really sort of, I feel like, probably put those fears to rest. Because when he was talking about living up to being the type of icon that the Macho Man Randy Savage was, that Rick Rude was, and Mr. Perfect was, and Bret the Hitman Hart was with the Intercontinental title, it just made me feel sympathetic to The Miz in a way that I haven't felt sympathetic to him before. Because we've seen him, you know, in these documentaries talking about how much he loved wrestling, but then he went into reality television instead. Instead of going into sort of like the indies and stuff like that. But my thing is, he's really worked his way to becoming one of the most prolific stars of our time. And he's worked his way to being, you know, a pretty good wrestler, all things considered. And a lot of people don't give him his things or don't give him his credit because they feel like, oh, well, he's just a sports entertainer and he's just not like this hardcore wrestler or stuff like that. And Gunther actually spoke to that. But my thing is, The Miz really has grown to be a dependable star, and not even just a dependable star, but a dependable wrestler, you know, given the circumstances that he is placed in. And yeah, he's a great champion. He's won the Intercontinental Championship eight times. And nobody can forget his amazing feud that he'd had against Dolph Ziggler for that IC title during the SmackDown Live era. Like, and even his feud with John Moxley / Dean Ambrose. Like, that was amazing stuff that he put on. And so Gunther really has no business underestimating The Miz the way that he is, because even here lately in his matches on Raw, he's been showing more of his in-ring acumen. And The Miz really is, you know, showing that he is definitely going to be the future Hall of Famer that people say that he's going to be. But I'm going to predict that Gunther is going to win, because I feel like he might just smack him in his chest one good time and that's just going to be it. And that's just how it's going to be. And Vaughn, thank you for watching and saying Gunther is going to win. What's up? Yeah. Joseph is saying, in a weird way, WWE fans don't know who Gunther is without a belt. That's true. Success came to him quickly in his third WWE match. He won this title. I think The Miz is his biggest threat, and I can see Miz winning the title. I could see him winning it too, you know? Vaughn is saying that The Miz is top 10 IC champions, all jokes aside. Definitely, he really is. And then this scared me, Vaughn. You cannot be making comments like this, because the way life be going, like, you just can't be making comments like that with, you know, his birthday and all that. Like, don't do that, because that almost had me like scared for a second. But yeah, Joseph is also saying Gunther is like Rhea Ripley. They're both underestimating their respective challengers, Miz and Zoe. I could see both Gunther and Rhea losing. Yeah, like, The Miz could very well beat him, you know, and could fool him, you know, in terms of his ability in ring, like I said, that he's been showing off over the past few weeks on Raw. But I just really feel like Gunther really is locked in with keeping this IC title and bringing prestige back to it, because of course, you know, he believes the mat is sacred. And then of course you have to think about the fact that his Imperium brothers, Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci, are trying to prove themselves to him over and over again. And that might, you know, pose a threat to The Miz in that regard as well. So yeah, it's just going to be really interesting, but I'm predicting that Gunther is going to retain the title, but The Miz is going to give him a run for his money, and he might have a star making performance there in which we might have to give him a standing ovation in Chicago, but Gunther is ultimately going to retain. Yeah, I just hate that he was just calling The Miz like a weirdo, or like a nerd because he was a big wrestling fan and he was a fan of the personalities of back in the day. And I feel like that's just so horrible. Like, you know, just talking about how he could have been bullied for loving those stars. And yeah, that's true. A lot of wrestling fans do get bullied. But the only reason why we get bullied is because we love it so, we love something so hard and so deep that people just can't fathom it. And that's okay. That is perfectly fine if The Miz grew up loving those superstars and wanting to be like them. And now he's, you know, in the upper, getting to the upper echelon of those people that he mentioned. That is okay. You know, weirdos run the world and this is what we're doing and that is okay. But Gunther is going to win, but The Miz is still ours and it is perfectly fine. And finally, we have the men's Vaughn saying Gunther turned into a bully from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You know, I've heard of that movie, but I've never watched it. I never watched that movie, but for me, I just really feel like when I think of bullies, I think of Regina George, and I really feel like Gunther was giving Regina George vibes in that way. But yeah, shout out to Mean Girls. I'm probably going to see the musical movie, but either way, yeah, he did turn into a bully. But moving into the last part of my predictions for the War Games match, we have for the men a 5-on-5 situation, which weirds me out. This weirds me out because if the men have a 5-on-5 War Games match, how come the women just have a 4-on-4? That's a little bit weird for me, but then again, I guess mentally I can't really figure out who else could be in that War Games match along with the women, you know, unless they just pull out surprises on top of surprises. But I don't know. Maybe a Trish sighting, a Lita sighting. I don't know. But either way, I do think it's interesting how the men have, you know, 5-on-5 and the women have 4-on-4. But, you know, it's okay. Vaughn is throwing something in here. He's saying Jade could be the fifth woman. But oh my God, that would be interesting because Dakota, for all we know, you know, could be feigning an injury and then she could insert herself and have another iconic moment like the one she had on Tegan Knox in the War Games match in NXT and, you know, be like, haha, I was just faking. And then Jade could be the fifth woman. But, you know, I'm not sure if Jade would make her debut in a cage. Like, that would be insane. But it would be a great debut for her considering we've never seen her in a cage. That would be fantastic. And then Joseph is saying, it's been like that for all the incarnation step, even NXT, the women is always an 8-woman while the man is 10. Oh, okay. Well, whatever. It's okay. Shawn Michaels called Jade. Charlotte could have called her too. Hey, we don't know. But moving into this match, I am very excited for this because, like I said earlier, Cody Rhodes has a team and he will be participating in his father's invention for the very first time in his career. And that's amazing. And I feel like this type of match is perfect for him because he's just a crazy guy who just likes to throw caution to the wind when it comes to certain matches. And especially since the first time he participated in Hell in a Cell last year, when he fought his teammate Seth Rollins with a broken freaking pec. So I'm really excited for Cody in this regard. But of course, you have Team Cody with him, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and the returning Randy Orton going up against the Judgment Day and Drew McIntyre. Y'all, I couldn't believe it. Like, the rumors have been rumoring, but I try my best not to feed into them because, of course, when it comes to rumors, they could be true. They could be not true. It's just so much, you know, that, you know, could be happening that people think they know, but then they don't necessarily know. So I just was just trying to wait and see, right? So I'm thinking it's going to be like a Becky situation where we're going to see Randy pop up on Monday Night Raw. But last night, Cody just kept saying, yeah, we, you know, y'all aren't just hearing voices in your head, you know, we have an apex predator and all of that. And he was just announcing and telling us that it's going to be Randy without telling us it's going to be Randy. And then WWE released this picture right here, including Randy Orton in the graphic. So now we know that he is the fifth man. And we're all very excited about that because he has been out of wrestling for almost 2 years now at this point. And it's been really awkward without him. It's been really awkward because Randy is like a pillar in WWE at this point, the same way that John Cena and Edge / Adam Copeland, you know, were pillars, you know, in terms of the Ruthless Aggression era, so is Randy Orton. And so us having to sort of move forward and with so many other different things happening in wrestling, you know, without him being there has just been really odd. And that space has been empty for quite a while. And I'm so happy that he will be coming back and he'll have another run. And we're going to scream our voices out for him when he comes out. Like, I'm really excited to see him back. I'm really pumped for this. And the fact that he's on the team with Cody, you know, because of their history with Legacy and then with Ted DiBiase, even though he had his crazy stuff now and he's in prison and stuff. But, you know, they've had history with each other. And then you have Sami Zayn, you know, with his history with Jey Uso and the Bloodline and all of that. And then, of course, you had Jey Uso looking like he saw a ghost last night because the last time Randy, you know, and him were having a thing, he was still in the Bloodline attacking him and Matt Riddle. Like, so much, there's just so much history tied in with each other that it's just going to be interesting to see how this team is going to work together. And then, of course, you have Cody and Seth, who have sort of put their beef to the side in order to work together to destroy the Judgment Day. But then you wonder how long they're going to keep that going. Like, it's just really insane, but I'm just so excited to see that. And then, of course, you have the Judgment Day and Drew McIntyre. And it looks like the Judgment Day is only working with Drew McIntyre just because Rhea recruited him and they really don't necessarily like him for real as a possible part of their team, but they're going to make it work anyway because they just want to, you know, assert their dominance over everyone. And it's just really crazy. This is probably the hardest match to predict. It's really hard because Judgment Day has really just been on a tear lately with all of their crazy shenanigans. You have Finn and Damian, who are the undisputed tag team champions, and you have Damian, who could very well cash in on Seth Rollins in this match because he's Mr. Money in the Bank. You also have Dominic, the North American champion, who's just being, you know, Dirty Dom all the time. And then you have JD McDonagh, who's a newly recruited member of the Judgment Day. You know, he's got his stuff going on. And then, of course, you have Drew, who's angry at everyone because he just can't win gold anymore. And it's just too much. There's just so much emotion. There's so much history between everybody. Like, there's just so much, so many combustible elements in this match that I'm just so excited about. Whew! But for now, I think I'm just going to predict that Team Cody is going to come out with the win. Because you have, you know, like I mentioned earlier, Cody's and his dad's match. You got the returning Randy Orton. I just feel like this is just too good of an opportunity to just have them lose to Judgment Day again. So Team Cody is who I'm predicting to win. And it's just going to be amazing. But let's go to the chat real quick before I wrap up. Vaughn is calling him Groundskeeper Drew. Oh my gosh, why you call him that? Crybaby Drew. Joseph is saying Judgment Day feels like a real family. Poppy was pissed that mommy got a fifth member, but the kids were so happy. The eldest, Finn, told dad to chill, and the middle one, JD, just sat there. Dom was the youngest. Right. That's pretty funny when you think about it from a family perspective. That's right. Vaughn is saying Cody is going to have the army face paint. Oh my God. I hope he doesn't, because he's sort of outgrown the face paint thing. Like, he's the American Nightmare. He doesn't have to do that anymore. Eric is saying Team Cody is going to win. Yep, I agree. And Vaughn is saying Team Viper. Yeah. A lot of astute predictions here tonight. But I am just so excited because I really, you know, this is just going to be an amazing show to really cap off the year. Because I believe this might be the final pay-per-view that WWE is going to have outside of NXT Deadline, this really might be it. And I'm just really, this is just a really good way to cap off an amazing year in wrestling and an amazing year in WWE, period. Like, I'm just really pumped for this. War Games is always an exciting deal. And Chicago is just a crowd that's just always hot for wrestling, period, no matter what. And I'm just really excited, you know. And of course, there might be the inevitable CM Punk chance, but no one said he was going to show up. We just don't know. We just got to wait and see. But I'm just really excited. And then, of course, you also have the wild card of Nick Aldis, the general manager of SmackDown, and Adam Pearce, the general manager of Raw, having this face-off last night. And I'm wondering if this means anything for Survivor Series in the traditional sense, or if this just, if this war of brands is just going to spill over the next couple of weeks and they're just going to keep it going. Like, I don't know. But these two men have so much history in terms of their background in the NWA that I just can't wait to see how this is going to turn out. But I just, oh my God, this just made me excited. But either way, I'm just really pumped of what's going to go on in Chicago. It's going to be amazing. And I just can't help but just to feel honored that I'm able to go and that I've gotten credentialed for the first time, because I did want to spend some time talking about what it means to be credentialed at this point in my podcasting and hosting journalism career. Like, this is just an amazing opportunity. This is something that I've wanted to do for a while now, since WrestleMania, because I didn't know that this was a thing that you even could do until then. So I am just really excited that I get to go, and hopefully, you know, I'll be able to ask, you know, a question, you know, to someone. And it's just amazing, you know, that this is happening, because I've only been doing this for 3 years, coming up on four. And I'm not a trained journalist in the traditional sense. I'm just a girl who loves wrestling. Like, I've loved wrestling since I was 4 years old. Y'all know my story if you heard the beginning episode. But I do recommend that you go back and listen to that first episode if you haven't, or if you're new to HWP. But I am not really a journalist. I'm just a girl who really, really loves wrestling. And I never imagined that my voice would go as far as it has in terms of hosting, in terms of writing, in terms of commentating. Like, this is just stuff that I just wanted to try. And the fact that, you know, people have been so receptive to it over these past couple of years has just been absolutely amazing. And I just love that I have a support system. I have a family of wrestling fans, you know, and wrestling journalists who have embraced me as a part of their community when they don't have to. You know, they've loved on me and helped me whenever I've had questions about certain things. And I get to be with them, you know, in Chicago, you know, for this amazing event. And I've always been a WCW/WWF/E girl growing up. So this is amazing, you know, it's always amazing to be in the room watching the event as a fan. It's always amazing to watch these people put their bodies on the line, you know, for your entertainment. And I've been to countless events like that. But to be a member of the press and be able to be there and just go, and possibly, you know, have the opportunity to ask a question of people that you've admired for such a long time, it's amazing. And if I start talking about it now, I might just start crying, but I'm just really honored to be there and to be a part of it. And hopefully, you know, you'll see more content that I'll create during my trip, and, you know, it'll just be an amazing time. So I'm just really excited to be a part of it. And hopefully this will bring more blessings. Wrestling will continue to, you know, show its light and its face upon me in a beautiful way as we move into a new year and a new month and so many different things. So I'm just really excited to be there with a number of my friends, and we will get to be there and just be great and experience this amazing show. So it's an amazing time. But thank you guys so much for watching this prediction show and hearing me talk about it. Lots of good vibes from Vaughn. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you. Telling me to be safe. Oh, I'll definitely, you know, be safe. And he's saying, it's okay, Steph, your work speaks for itself. It's open doors for opportunities like going, yeah, as a media member. Thank you so much. I'm just really grateful and really happy about it. So yeah, in the meantime, in between time, I have to end the episode by just saying, if of course you're looking for a podcast host, a writer, a color commentator, or a panelist for your conventions, for your wrestling events, for your shows or anything like that, or if you want to interview me, you can email me at hardywrestlingpodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM me on Instagram or on X/Twitter at Queen Steph Hardy, or at Hardy Wrestle Pod and Hardy Wrestling Podcast on Instagram and X/Twitter. I will reach out to you and we can make it work. We can talk about rates. We can talk about everything. But like I said, I'm a very passionate, you know, wrestling fan and a passionate wrestling worker. And I will do my very best to add electricity and passion to your wrestling event, to your panels, to your anything that you want. And yeah, just book me, book your girl. I am open for all of 2014. So if you want me, or if you're interested in me for your events, please book me. I am absolutely open to everything at this point. And of course, if you love wrestling and if you love women's wrestling, please check out our amazing show, this show that I have as a sister show with In Cat We Trust with Katrina Blake, with Steph and Cat Talk WOW, as we talk about the hottest all women show on wrestling television, WOW Superheroes. We talk about it every Monday, or unless otherwise stated. We talk about and give a recap of the show because we're continuing that relationship into the second season. So please be on the lookout for that. There is a playlist on my YouTube channel as well as Katrina's YouTube channel at In Cat We Trust. You can watch every episode that we've ever done. We had a new episode come out yesterday, so if you've missed that, please look out for that. Now this weekend, I'm not sure how that's gonna work because we're gonna be, me and Katrina both will be in Chicago. So as far as a new episode this Monday, there probably won't be one, but we will probably do one, but it'll probably be later in the week. But please check out Steph and Cat Talk WOW. We're really proud of this show and we love that we've been able to continue our relationship with women of wrestling as we've transitioned into a new phase of trusting ourselves and loving ourselves in this wrestling space. So please look out for that show. And of course, read my most recent article. Since tonight is NXT Tuesday, you can read my article talking about the end of Trick and Mello Gang and how it will break the hearts of the NXT universe. This was such an honor because this was the very first time I've ever written an article about men in wrestling. I have only ever written an article about women until them. And they were such an amazing start because I've always loved Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams and their vibe and the friendship that they express on television. And now watching it fall apart little by little is heartbreaking. And so what better way to talk about that heartbreak than to write an article about it? So if you are a fan of Daily DDT stuff, please be on the lookout for more articles that I will be writing with them in the future. And read my most recent one talking about the end of Trick and Mello Gang. I talk about their chemistry. I talk about, you know, having to choose between them both once they do start fighting each other. And of course, I talk about the authenticity of their Black male friendship, which is absolutely important in terms of representation. So please read that article. I put my heart and soul into it. So go on Daily DDT and read all of my articles, but definitely read this one because it's my most recent one. And I'm very proud of it. So please read it. And hopefully I will write more about men in the future. So yeah, I'm just really excited. And of course, please purchase my merchandise on foryourwear.com/hardywrestlingpodcast. Buy my t-shirts and my hoodies because it is hoodie season. That says Alabama Wrestling. It's got Alabama Wrestling icons on it, like Sensational Sherry, Teddy Long, Kayla Braxton, aka Fuego del Sol, Deborah, and Paul Bearer. All of these people are from Alabama, just like me, and I'm very proud of that. So I wanted to encapsulate that in a t-shirt. So if you want to wear a t-shirt that has that represents the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, as well as represent where me, the host, is from, and just, you know, talk about it, an interesting tidbit that a lot of people in wrestling might not know, purchase the Alabama Wrestling t-shirt in either red and black. They come in all sizes, and the hoodies come in all sizes too. Please order that, as well as my Bold and the Bloodline t-shirts and my Beyontez t-shirts, which celebrates the love of Bianca and Montez Ford. You can wear this t-shirt while to celebrate the release of their reality show on Hulu, Love and WWE, Bianca and Montez. You can buy that t-shirt and celebrate their love, or you can buy the t-shirt and celebrate the Bloodline if that's your favorite storyline of all time. But either way, I have merchandise. Go on foryourwear.com/Hardy Wrestling Podcast and buy you some good merch. And of course, this has been the Hardy Wrestling Podcast Extra with your girl, Stephanie Hardy. I hope you have an amazing Thanksgiving weekend, an amazing Survivor Series weekend, and just take care of yourself and take care of your mental health and your spiritual health, you know, and just have a good time, even with yourself, if that's what you're going to do, and just, you know, embrace this time that you have and reallocate, you know, with the things that you love, and just be good to yourself and just love yourself, and also bet on yourself as well, because it's a good time to do that, right? So this has been the Hardy Wrestling Podcast with your girl, Stephanie Hardy. And until next time, bye, y'all.